Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to episode 9 of the GC Podcast. I am Joe Brannon, digital content developer on the GCI Media team. I really like guacamole, but Michelle, what I really love is being able to sit around in community with my friends devouring that guacamole.
As long as they're not a double dipper.
Oh, so true. Ew.
Yeah. But I know your friends are more polite than that.
Yes.
Oh, this is where I introduce myself.
Yes, that'd be great.
Guys, I'm only one cup of coffee in. Please forgive me. I'm Michelle Fleming. I'm the GCI Media Director. Lover of cheesy jokes and fun facts. Yeah. That's me. And someone who needs two cups of coffee to function in the morning.
Oh, this is going to be so good. We are so glad that you are here and wanting to invest in yourself as a ministry leader. And on today's episode, I had the opportunity to hang out in the president's office with GCI President Greg Williams. And he shares some great insights in working with teams. And we get into affirmation and what is affirmation, what does it mean, how to be an affirming leader, and what does a team look like whose leader is affirming and not affirming? So
right. That creates a completely different team.
It really does. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into that. What, you can just listen to the episode, and then we'll get into it afterwards. It is a great episode, and he has a lot of wisdom and practical experience working with teams. But before we jump into this episode, Michelle, the regional celebrations, they are coming to a close.
Which would be sad, but that just means we're getting ready for our
denominational
celebration.
Oh, and that is next year, 2020.
That's right, July 29th through August 2nd, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, GCI friends, GC podcast friends, you just heard it first, that the denominational celebration is July
29th through August 2nd, 2020.
Mark it on your calendars. This is big news. But you're exactly right. It's kind of sad that the regional celebrations are coming to a close. They have been fantastic. They have mm-hmm. been so inspiring. And there's only one registration that is still open, and that's our East celebration, which is going to be in Ocean City, Maryland. It's open until September 9th, so please go get registered if you are in that region. It's a time to learn, fellowship, and grow into a healthier leader. And it really, truly is. I have been to two of them. You have been to three of them. Mm-hmm. You just got to go. Go to gci.org/events for exact dates, schedules for each celebration, I guess for the one celebration that's left.
Well, there's the North Central is
registration
closed, but
yes,
it has not happened yet.
Yeah, so those of you that are registered for that one, it's mm-hmm. coming up.
Yes.
So you will absolutely love what you're going to learn there and being able to hang out with your teams mm-hmm. and some of the other friends in your region.
Yes.
So you don't want to miss it. So let's jump into this episode of my conversation with Greg Williams as he shares what it means to be an affirming leader. In the studio, we have... Oh, wait. Actually, we're not in the studio this time. Again, this is two episodes in a row. We are actually in the GCI home office, and we're in the president's office.
Maybe I should welcome you, Joe.
Oh, maybe you should, maybe you should, Greg. In the president's office, we have Dr. Greg Williams in the house on the podcast. He is a pastor, or no, you're not a pastor anymore. Well, you're kind of a pastor, but you don't have the title of a pastor.
Yeah, it's always confusing to people.
It is.
In a lot of ways, especially overseas with our international church, they think of me as being what we call the pastor general, which really meant kind of being the pastor of the pastors. And so I still do a lot of pastoral duties, but in a broader way.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have been a pastor. You have been Generations Ministries Director, Regional Director, Church Administration Director USA, and now currently President of GCI. So I think you've done just about every single role in GCI.
Yeah, I think so, Joe. I look back on that and I just see God's grace in that, because being able to serve at so many different levels and to see the church from those different perches really helped to, groom me and prepare me for this role. So I'm grateful for those opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think some of your favorite roles, you're a husband of 35 years
That's right.
And that was just this year, 35
just this
years.
Year. Yes.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That, by the way.
Thank you.
You're a father to three grown boys. I wouldn't say boys anymore, three grown men.
Yeah, sometimes I have to think twice about that too. But yeah, they're adults. Glenn and Garrett are twins. They're 32. Gatlin's 28. And they're all grown up. They have jobs. They pay their own bills. Praise God. And so, yeah, it's a different time of life. And I think you're going to get to the grandkids in a minute, aren't you?
Yeah. I think your favorite role, though. I mean, yes. Husband's being great, father's being great. But I've seen that twinkle in your eye, Greg, when you talk about those three grandkids.
Oh yeah, they're special. It's amazing how much you love your kids and how much you sacrifice for them. But the grandkids, it's almost like that second opportunity to watch them develop. When you're raising your own kids, you're so involved with life and paying bills and all the things that go along with that. But then when the grandkids come along, it's like you have a little more time. You're a little more patient. You can go at it a little more slowly. And you can sit and listen and hopefully just be a positive influence in their life.
Now, what is it that that you have said, if you knew how great being a grandparent was, you would have skipped being the parent? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it would have started right there as a grandparent. That's right. Well, it's, you know, you can't skip the steps, of course, but at the same time, it's a different perspective when you're a little bit older and you're looking at them. You can be a little more, go a little more slowly with them and to, put up with a little bit more of their actions at times. Even my grandkids can have their moments, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely they can. But no, they're fun. It's when they get tired, and I think all parents should think about that too. It's really when they're tired or they're confused. And sometimes that's on us because we don't always communicate well with them.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
that's
part of it.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. Well, Greg loves Jesus. He's got a heart for GCI and the work of the Holy Spirit in and through GCI around the world. He definitely enjoys all sorts of sports, but I think golf definitely wins the number one spot, at least in this stage of your life.
It does. Golf is a game that I don't think you ever figure it out completely. You may be driving the ball great, but you can't putt. Some days the putts are dropping, but the irons are not working. But it's something you can play up until your later years of life.
Yeah.
And the golf courses too. You talk about the Garden of Eden and how beautiful it is, and God said to dress and keep the garden. Well, guess what areas around the world get more attention and grooming and care? The golf courses. I mean, to me, it's part of being out of God's creation, and I just love that. And I love the fellowship and the relationships you can build as you're playing golf too. So yeah, I enjoy watching it because I appreciate these people who can do things I'll never be able to do. And it's just fun. It's a fun game.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Yeah.
I am very excited about this episode.
My pleasure to be here too, Joe. Thanks for inviting me.
So, talking about sports a little bit, because you've played a lot of team sports.
I did.
And so, getting to know you more, I've seen your passion for team-based activities.
Yes.
And how you've talked about your sports history and the teams that you've been on, and how you've actually taken some of what you've learned there on further into your life. Why is being team-based ministry so important? How have you used the team-based idea in your sports and then also through the things that you've learned through life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I first of all think about Father, Son, and Spirit,
yeah.
You know, the Holy Trinity. God has always existed in community.
What better team, right?
Absolutely. And again, he's created us in his image. So why would we want to do solo sports? I mean, yeah. I do understand that even golf itself is a solo sport, but I like going out and playing in tournaments where we play team golf, where you get to play best ball and you strategize and work together. There's something about working with other people and sharing life experience and community that is just better. I know from my coaching background and even, you know, talking about basketball, football, those are the sports that I played and coached the most. And my three sons, as they were growing up, they wanted to play peewee football. And I told them, well, I need to meet the coaches, because sometimes the coaches can be a little bit abusive and not so patient with the kids and make it a bad experience. So I had to meet the coaches. Well, not only did I meet the coaches, but they became two of my closer friends, and they invited me into coaching as well. So I did that for about 5 years, not only with Glenn and Garrett, but then as Gatlin came up. But I was so intrigued about these young, developing 11, 12-year-olds, because they were new to the sport. There was a lot to learn. Some learned faster than others. Each of them, you had to kind of evaluate, what are their skills? What do they enjoy doing? Every kid comes out thinking they're going to be a quarterback, and you can only have one quarterback on the field at a time. So not every kid's going to play that position. But helping them find their role on the team, letting them try new positions, giving them opportunities, but having that watchful eye of being able to see just where they fit and what the chemistry of the team's going to be, what their strengths are, and how we're going to utilize those strengths. Those same principles apply whatever team, whether it's your pastoral team at the church level, whether it's a team of salespeople working in the business sector. These things apply. They apply all across the board.
And I've noticed how you do that. This isn't something that you just talk about. I've seen you actually practice this. Mm-hmm. You do this stuff. You try to find the right person to be in the right spot on the right bus, is what you even say.
Right.
Because you can be in the right seat, but on the wrong bus.
Exactly. Exactly.
And one of the things that I've heard you talk about when it comes to team-based things, especially in the context of ministry, team-based ministry, and I've seen you practice this, is being an affirming leader.
Yes.
What does it mean to be an affirming leader? What does affirming mean?
Yeah, let's talk about affirmation. It's I think generally speaking, if you ask someone off the cuff, affirmation seems to be how to be positive. People think of positivity, and that is part of it. But a strict definition of what affirmation is, it means asserting, declaring, or stating the truth. And that takes it to a different level. There's a certain sense that the truth is our reality, and that really is our friend, because that's our starting place. If we're not going to be able to address the truth and the reality of a situation, even maybe what's even going on in our own personal life and with our team, if we can't address that, we're going to get stuck. We're going to get stuck in some bad places, or we're going to make some bad decisions and maybe go in the wrong direction too. So I think about affirmation, even as an individual. To be affirmed is to know something about yourself that is true and is actually life-giving. I think of the Proverbs talk about that we have the power of the words of life, the power in our tongue. James writes about that in his epistle as well. And to be able to be affirming means to speak the truth. It's not just to flatter someone falsely, but it's when you see something in somebody's life to just be able to call that up and to speak that and speak those words.
I like how you said call up, because I've noticed you say that, and you talk about the difference of calling up and calling out.
Yes.
When it's about affirming. Can you speak a little bit more into the calling up and the calling out?
Absolutely. To call out, it just sounds corrective. It could also be even mean-spirited in how you do that with someone. You know, how our patience will wear thin. We were talking about working with our kids earlier, and how even working with our kids at times, they can push those buttons in us, and then we speak out of maybe an angry spirit. That's what calling out looks like. But calling up is where we really see the positive and we accentuate that. I think of one particular story in my life. My good friend Charles Fleming, who I've always admired and we've worked closely together, he told me this about, must be 6 or 7 years ago now, but he was saying that he noticed in my life that I had the ability to think on both the macro level and the micro level, that I also had the agility to move back and forth between the macro and the micro. And he says, not many people have that ability. I'd never thought of that. Mm. I had never thought of that as being a gift or a skill that I possessed. But once he pointed that out to me, I took ownership of that. In a lot of ways, that's something that really serves me well in my office today, is to be able to move back and forth between the high level 10,000 foot view and what's happening on the ground, and even sometimes in the weeds, you know. Yeah. And so I don't take that for granted, but that my good friend Charles calling that up in my life, he spoke words of life to me.
It's almost like the difference is calling out is an isolation. So it's somebody kind of pointing at somebody else and calling them out, like pointing the finger.
Yes.
Calling up is a relational thing, like helping somebody up to rise to a whole nother level, essentially.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're right, Joe. The sense that we always know that we're good at something, sometimes we're doing these things intuitively and not even recognizing how God has gifted us and what skill sets that we have. To call that out in a way that's positive, I should say call up. I just said call out.
Yeah.
I have to watch my language in that too, because I go back and forth in that. I really like the language of calling up, because it does talk about building up.
Right.
It's positive. The sense of calling up can also be corrective too, though.
I was gonna ask, can you be affirming in calling up and correcting something?
Yes. It can be done with a positive mindset, because ultimately I'm not attacking somebody's character. That's not what I'm looking to do. Usually we're dealing with misunderstanding, miscommunication. We're really dealing more with issues than we are with trying to make judgment on somebody's character. So we can use language that says, like, well, Joe, I have a challenge to bring to you. So when I say that, what goes on inside of you internally, Joe? If I came to you and just say, I have a challenge I need to bring to you, how do you receive that?
There's almost a defensiveness that kind of rises up inside of me a little bit.
Yeah, and that's kind of our human response.
Right.
But I think also, if the relationship's there, and you know that I'm coming to
That's true.
And I'm coming to you not to beat you up, not to tear you down, but I say there's a challenge, and I want to address it as we're going to work through this together.
Yes, yes.
I think the real sense of it is it's the character of God. We serve a God who loves us, a God who is for us.
Yeah.
So when we treat each other in the same way, we can face these challenges because we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, Joe, I've got a call up for you. You need to fix this, go make this right, and you're off on your own. But if I talk to you about a challenge that I take ownership in too, because we're in this together, that's what teams do. How do we find the solution together? How can I help you, and how can you adjust, and how do we just go forward?
Yeah.
And I think as long as we're moving in a forward direction, I think everybody, you know, they get motivated by that. That's an environment that you want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of pastors and ministry leaders listening and probably wondering if they are being affirming in their teams.
Right.
Kind of scratching their head thinking, maybe I'm not. And sometimes we can see the reflection of our leadership by looking at the culture of our teams. Sometimes looking at our teams can be the mirror of who we are as a leader.
I think so. I think of a team where there's the lack of affirmation. I think of that team not producing very well, so non-productive. I think of that team being a little bit dull in the sense they're not walking with, you know, their heads high and an extra jump in their step. They're kind of beaten down a little bit. And I think about how maybe coming to work or being in the environment of where they're serving on the team, that instead of it being life-giving, it's more life-draining. You know, we're going to have a meeting. Well, who wants to go to another meeting, especially if our team is not a highly functioning team where affirmation's a part of that?
And that would be an affirmation on both sides of bringing a challenge and also affirming people in their strengths and what they're gifted in.
That's right.
So if it's not coming from either side, you could see this kind of unhealthy team environment.
Exactly. And I think the way we can identify, my spouse is the greatest mirror that I have. You know, Susan is good at that, and she's very kind and gentle in the way that she calls me up. But if I'm in a very negative mindset and I'm criticizing everything, you know, she has a strong nurturer's voice anyway. She is naturally positive. My wife sees the best in almost any situation, which I love her for that, and she's helped me to grow in that area too.
Yeah.
But they're going to be your best evaluator in terms of how things are going. Is the environment good? Because ultimately, the culture that's being developed is going to be a reflection of leadership. I don't think there's any way around that. There are times when a team kind of rises above in an unusual way, but that's very rare for that to happen.
Right.
If a team is continually being called out for things that are not happening or being feeling like they're being judged, criticized, put down, if they're feeling that, then how do they even get motivated to want to fulfill their roles on the team?
Right, right. And this culture can be formed either intentionally or unintentionally.
Exactly, exactly. There's never a void, is there?
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's always some direction. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards, it seems like. You don't stay in neutral for too long. I think about, you mentioned coaching and sports earlier. I wanted to get back to this real quick. I found like in basketball, and I enjoyed as a player, I could be a point guard or I could be a power forward. I could move around to different positions. I was a pretty decent shooter. I could usually a streak shooter. If I hit one, I would hit five in a row, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I appreciated playing basketball in the different positions. But when I started coaching basketball, I realized you want to talk to the team as a team. You know, what are our plays we're running? Are we going to be a fast break team? Are we going to be a half court offense? You know, trying to figure out the strengths of the team and play to that. But I also found what was helpful in the calling up of the different players. Like, Joe, if you were the point guard, I would come to you before the game and say, Joe, to put us in a place to win tonight, I know you're going to penetrate, you drive the middle, you'll get fast break points, but if you can penetrate and dish the ball off, if you could get 10 assists in the game tonight, you'll put us in a place to win. Then I'd go to the power forward and I'd say, you're going to end up getting some rebounds and putting the ball back in. You're going to score your points. It seems like all basketball players, the one measure of that they look at, the stat they always look at, is the points that they scored.
Yeah.
But I'll talk to the power forward and say, you know what? If you can get 10 rebounds tonight, if you can get 10 rebounds, you're going to put us in a place to win. And so I would talk to each player in the role that they had on the team and get them focused on what they need to do individually to help the team be stronger. And I found that really worked very, very well.
Yeah.
And even at the end of the game, when they would go to look at the stats, instead of looking to how much they scored, how many rebounds did I get? How many assists did I get? How many steals did I get?
Did I do my job well?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how would you link that to ministry, to a team that is working together within the church to try to become the healthiest church that they can be? How would a pastor do that?
Absolutely. just like a basketball player has a role, whether they're the point guard, the shooting guard, whatever role there may be, in ministry, they need to understand their role on that ministry team. We've talked about, and I'm sure you'll do more podcasts about this, but we've talked about the Love, Hope, and Faith venues in ministry, and mm-hmm. we see these venues being a way that we see how the ministry of Christ is lived out in the church. And we see that so clearly that these filters help us to understand that if it doesn't fit in this filter, is this really the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the church? And so right. we use it as a filter. But say you're the champion of our love venue, which our love venue is about our outreach and how we're connecting to the community and how we are connecting people to the life of Christ and to the life of the church.
Yeah.
So if you're championing that, Joe, I'm going to come to you and, you know, we're going to talk periodically, but say we're looking at our vision meeting for looking at next year. And I'm going to ask, well, Joe, what went well last year? You know, what activities did we do? What do you hope to do for this coming year? You know, how do you plan to lead your team? But I can talk to you very specifically because you have a clear description yeah. of what you're being asked to do.
Yeah.
So that actually provides the context for the conversation. It provides the opportunity for us to come together and really collaborate and strategize. And my role, if I'm the senior pastor in that church, my role is to come to you as the champion and also the Hope Venue champion and the Faith Venue champion, and to be concerned about how I'm supporting you.
Right.
And at the same time, I've got my eyes on what's happening. I'm interested. It's exciting to me. The life of the church really does matter in the way that you do your job and perform your role, but I don't want to do your job for you either.
Right.
Have you ever been in an environment where you're asked to do something, you're given a very clear job, and then all of a sudden it's pulled away from you?
I'm sure I have, but so here's a confession time.
Yes.
I think I've been that person that has pulled
sure.
away, and I've noticed what that does to the other person. It just deflates them completely.
Exactly.
And they become disengaged, actually.
Right. So even in an environment that's affirming, a truthful, realistic environment, okay?
Yeah.
Even in that, people can be allowed to make a few mistakes.
Yeah. Thank God for grace.
Absolutely. That's exactly where grace comes in. So if you're my love venue champion and you and your team have put on this activity and you had a big budget and you're expecting 500 people to come and it just flops, you know, nobody shows up or, you know, and something happens that really goes the wrong direction, do we just automatically remove you from your job? Do we just take that away from you?
What
do we
do?
Well, and that's part of affirmation is we come back and say, well, boy, that didn't quite work out the way we planned. And so we'll go through that. Well, the challenge will be, you know, let's figure out why did it not go well? Is this something we would ever do again? And unfortunately in ministry, so often we will put together what we think are great ideas and throw a lot of money into it, and it doesn't work as well as we want. And so we're one and done. We never
right.
come back. But in a team that has affirmation, you can deal with those disappointments, but you don't give up. You
yeah.
know, you still come back, you rethink it. Maybe you scrap that idea, but you move to another idea, and you keep going. And that's
yeah.
what that positive environment of affirmation does for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. So, I mean, you've kind of touched base on this a little bit, because we talked about what is a team that the leader is not affirming, but what is a team that is affirming? That's you kind of touched base on that a little bit.
I did, and again, these are the definition of opposites, basically.
Right.
So I talked about non-productive. So a team where there is affirmation is going to be highly productive.
Hmm.
I talked about how a team that's dull and there's not a lot of energy there, but a team where there's affirmation is going to be vivacious. There's going to be energy there. And I also talked about it being life draining to be on that team, to be on a team where there's affirmation. It's going to be life giving.
You mean, are you telling me that there might be people that actually, when they hear, hey, it's a leadership meeting, people are like, all right, we're excited about this.
Exactly.
Is that
possible?
They even look
forward to it, you know, and I think this is part of it. Sometimes the mindset toward ministry is that it's always going to be hard. It's always going to be serious.
Why can't we have fun doing it?
Boy, if there's not joy in the journey, why are you on the journey?
Oh, amen.
I look at it. There's enough things that are going to bring challenge and discontent to us. Life by its nature is going to throw some hard things at us. And ministry, I'm not saying ministry is easy, but boy, when you have a team and people are in the right positions, and that we do have, the Apostle Paul talks about in his writings, he talks about being able to speak the truth in love to one another. That's really, when we're talking about affirmation, that's what we're talking about. Truth is a high standard, but it's always governed by love. If I can use the truth in a way, and it may be the God's honest truth about a situation or a person, but if I use that to tear them down instead of build them up, where's the love in that?
Right.
So love and truth come together, you know, as the right partnership, the right marriage that creates this environment. And when you are on an effective team where affirmation is part of it, you do look forward to times together. You do look forward to meeting and executing and celebrating and all those things that make up the life of a team.
Yeah. So what are some small initial steps that a pastor or even a ministry leader, let's say they're not a pastor, but they're leading a ministry,
right,
a worship leader or youth leader, what are some small steps, initial steps that they could do to try to shift that culture of being affirming?
Well, the first one, and this is not something that's just a religious answer, but prayer. Obviously, we need to talk to God about these things. I need the life of Christ in me to be positive, because I can be critical real quickly and real easily, and I can let myself be that negative person in the room instead of the positive person in the room. If it weren't for Christ in me, I could be really hurtful toward people. But you know, it is through that prayer. But I think also through just open communication. Again, we're talking about truth and honesty here. How about just having a meeting to just take the temperature of the group? Let's go around and discuss. How are we doing as a team? Do you feel understood? Does everybody feel understood? Because this is part of it. When you know the people on the team, it's not that they just like you and accept you, but they actually know you, warts and all, and you feel understood, that is empowering. So this is what we're talking about. So even having these honest discussions, and some people, because of their introverted nature, may not want to have that in group discussions. So maybe even a written survey that you send out asking a half a dozen questions about evaluating, how are we doing as a team? How am I doing as a leader?
Ooh.
I know.
Well,
I know. That's challenging, isn't it?
You know, that last part that you said, I mean, you've been saying it throughout this whole discussion, Greg. What it comes down to, the key phrase that you said is, wouldn't it be nice if somebody knew you or your team knew that you know them?
Right.
So that takes intentional relationship.
It does. Well, the whole sense of sharing the gospel is, number one, that we know Jesus and we make him known, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we also desire too?
Yeah.
To be known?
Yeah.
To be understood?
Yeah.
And so I think these values that make up a team, sometimes on a team, as we form a team, whether it's in the church, whether it's in sports, whatever team you want to use as an example, we tend to think about what are we trying to accomplish. So we're thinking more about the how-tos. How do we put all this together? But why are we coming together? I think we need to ask the why question before we ask the how question.
Right.
So why are we coming together?
Yeah.
Are we doing this out of a spirit of that God's called me to this? Are we doing this out of a spirit of resting in Jesus as we do it? That's where you're going to find the joy in the journey.
Right.
It's not about all these things that we go out here and think we're doing all these things for Jesus and somehow he's going to be more pleased with us or he's going to love us more than he already does. That's nonsense. He's not going to love us any more today than he did yesterday. His love is consistent. It's eternal. It's not something you earn. It's a gift. So embrace it. Own it.
And let's have fun with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've oftentimes some of the better meetings that I plan with the groups of leaders, and I have multiple teams because our structure is such. We have six regional groupings around the world, and I call them a community of practice because the whole idea behind that is that we come together in a very open, transparent way, that we share our best practices. We are on a common vision. Our vision is moving the church toward healthy church to be the best expression we can possibly be of the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. So we're all going in that same direction. But a lot of times when we bring these meetings together, we will meet for even two or three days. And a lot of times we will be in a home where we're preparing meals together. So we're sharing time with one another, not just in the formal meetings, but in the informal settings too. And a lot of times I'll try to create an activity of something that we can do together to see the sights, to go on an adventure, to go to a nice restaurant, to go to a museum, whatever it may be, or an activity, a rafting trip. I did that with a group one time, and they still talk about that 10 years later.
Yeah.
But there's something about teams and what we do together that provide community. And that community is only going to be healthy if we have a value of affirmation. If we are speaking the truth in love to one another consistently, that team's going to be effective.
Greg, I think this podcast is going to bring so much value, especially to those pastors and ministry leaders that seem like they're drowning. Like it's like they're trying to get their teams together. They want that unity. They want that camaraderie. They want people to be engaged in it. They don't want to drag their ministry workers and volunteers to meetings. You know, they want to do this in joy. I could see those folks probably getting the most out of this podcast. And you have spoken so much wisdom and life into this, because it's not like you're just preaching this, but you're actually doing this stuff. I have experienced it firsthand. So
I appreciate that, Joe. To me, this is the journey that Christ has us on. I oftentimes read the scriptures and I look at him in the time he spent with the disciples. And boy, he could have easily just gotten really irritated and just been critical and just sent them all home because
And got new ones.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or raise up stones, you know, right? But the reality is it is about relationship and it's about a journey. I think for me, one of the biggest turning points when I was leading the regional directors in this goes back just a few years, but I gave them all permission to say, look, you can call me up on anything. You know, there's nothing that's taboo. And there's no subject that's out of bounds. If I'm going in a bad direction, I actually expect you to call me up on these things because, again, it's not love if you're just letting me go off in a sideways direction. That's right. Not love. So we open the door for an environment to be able to call one another up and just say that's going to be a value that we're going to hold tightly. And there are certain things we hold loosely, but this is one thing we hold, you know, with a strong grip.
Yeah.
And that is that we're going to value the truth and the reality, but we're going to do it in love and in grace.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you so much for sharing just a little bit of your leadership and how you've been leading the last, couple of decades now. And so thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed that conversation with Greg. And, you know, being able to work in the home office, I get to talk with Greg quite a bit. I get to hear him speak about a lot of this stuff. But this was one thing when he talks about the real teams, that acronym REAL teams. I struggled with. I struggled with the A part, with the affirmation. Like, what does that mean? And the mm-hmm. thing that really stuck out to me, Michelle, is how affirmation is not just like positive, but it's about telling the truth. And that truth could be a challenge that you're bringing as well, but it's in love. It's right. all rooted in love. And it's the guidance of the Holy Spirit within us mm-hmm. of how to affirm one another and what a team could look like when doing that. Now, Greg is your direct supervisor. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, did something really stand out?
You know, I think that he really just lives this out. This is who he is as a leader. And we've worked together for a really long time, since the camp days, you know, where I was a teenager. And so I think it was really, really good information, but it's something that he lives out all the time in his leadership. And I think it goes to like part of the culture that he is creating within GCF, that high support, high challenge grace always. And so speaking the truth in love is bringing the support and challenge and always with grace.
Yeah. Yeah. So to hear that, yeah, this guy, he lives this out, because mm-hmm. too often we hear, not necessarily in our denomination, just in general, leaders will talk the game, mm-hmm. but they don't play it. You know, they don't practice what they preach.
Yeah.
You know?
And it doesn't really permeate into your teams unless you're living out the example
exactly.
of what you're talking about.
And you can see that in Greg's teams. You really can. Mm-hmm. So be sure to check out more resources for being an affirming leader in the show notes. It's at the resources site, which is resources.gci.org/GC podcast. And just a reminder about the regional celebrations. To find out more info about your regional celebration, go to gci.org/events and click on your region, and you can get more information. Bring your ministry leaders to this thing. It is an awesome opportunity to build deeper relationships with your leaders and grow together as a team. You do not want to miss this event. And friends, we will see you in the next episode.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.